Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Root of the Matter. I'm your host, Dr. Rachel Carver. Today, I'm very excited. We have Dr. John Augsburger here, who's been a biologic dentist for over 30 years, and he is going to talk to us about, again, all things biologic. We're going to talk a little bit about infection, more about how the mouth and the body is all connected, and whatever else we think is really relevant and important for everyone to know. John, why don't you tell us a little bit about your history, how you got into the whole concept of biologic dentistry, and go from there.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me. Yeah, my beginning was I happened to be watching television, watching 60 Minutes one night on a Sunday night, and a guy named Hal Huggins was talking about mercury fillings. And I was 5 years into my career as a dentist, so I was a traditional dentist. But I knew that there was writing on the wall, because at the time I was going through dental school, I knew that I found out that dentists had the highest suicide rate and divorce rate of any profession. But that was back in the 80s, so that was a while ago. But I understood that. I just had to get my radar up about that. I was just like, why is that? It's because my dad was an orthodontist and he really enjoyed his profession. So I knew I had to pay attention as I coursed through my career. And here comes this guy, Hal Huggins, on 60 Minutes. And he's talking about the toxicity of mercury. And now that we have science related to the toxicity of this filling material in people's mouths. And I happened to move to Colorado Springs right out of dental school from Iowa to Colorado Springs. So I landed there, and here's this dentist immunologist on television talking about this in my town. So I immediately called Hal and got to know him well. And he hired me immediately to work in his clinic. And when I walked into the Huggins clinic for the first time, I got to see the integration of biological dentistry and biological medicines, because there were doctors and nurses. And there was a cardiologist by the name of Tom Levy that was working there as well. So Tom Levy, if those of you don't know who he is, he's really written a lot of books and done a lot of really brought together a lot of research on cardiology and dentistry and the dangers of root canals and cavitations and that kind of thing. So here I am working with two of my greatest mentors are right in my midst. And so I started working at the Huggins Clinic, and what was different about the Huggins Clinic than my own private practice was we were using infusions of high dose vitamin C at the time, and that was it. And I was blown away by how well patients did having infusions during their dental appointments, regardless of what we're doing, whether we're doing fillings or removing decay or removing root canal teeth or cleaning out cavitations or any of those things, that just vitamin C alone in the bloodstream was just a game changer for me. Then the Huggins Clinic was shut down for no reason. Hal just lost his license. And so it really got me thinking about really the establishment versus the biological dental profession, and that there really wasn't a love relationship there, that really it was something that was an adversary. At the time, Dr. Huggins decided to go into the research on root canals, which eventually became the movie Root Cause. And so I was one of the 12 dentists that supplied the teeth to the root canal study that was done by Boyd Haley at the University of Kentucky. So I was deeply involved in biological dentistry at that time. And in my own private practice, before when I was a biological dentist, when I was doing root canals, I also, about the same time, I had an experience with a patient that after having a root canal, the next day she had this rash on her body pretty much everywhere and never had that in her life. And she was calling my office wanting to know if there was a relationship there. And of course, at the time I didn't know. So I just told her, I think this is something to consult your doctor about. But after you hang up the phone, you say, you know damn well, that stinky tooth that I did a root canal on had a lot to do with the toxins that were released in her body. And so there was that as well that kind of caught my attention, that what we're doing in dentistry is a big deal for the body. And as a biodentist, my protocols are completely different today than they were even when I began as a biological dentistry. We go way beyond just vitamin C now. But so that's what got me into this. And it's just been a long journey. I've been through a lot as a dentist. Now Rachel, you and I have been through the ACIMD courses together. So we have naturopathy medical degrees, which is really just to further education about how the mouth and the body are connected from a language called naturopathy, which I really think is brilliant and the way medicine should be practiced. So there's that. And now I have, I should mention one more thing. I trained under Dr. Rao at the Swiss in Switzerland. So I've spent a lot of time in Switzerland training, learning Swiss biological medicine and how to apply that to the practice of dentistry, which was what they were doing in Switzerland at the time, which I found to be absolutely fascinating. And really some of the deeper secrets that I use in my practice today really came from that all those experiences really. And so now we have what's called the Human Universal Health Institute, the HUH Institute in Denver, which is home to my practice is called BioDentist. We also have BioVital, which is really the medical side. So I really have the luxury of practicing in a biological medical clinic along with a dental clinic. Our medical clinic is under medical directorship. It's not under my license as a dentist. I'm a dentist, right? But I have the luxury of an MD-based biological practice tied to my biological dental clinic so our patients have I'll call it the luxury of getting their body involved in the dental experience. So that's really a very short version of a 34-year career and how it all has evolved.
And I think what's important, we've had a couple other biologic dentists on, and although all of our experience may vary, I think what we share is the philosophy, right? We are very open-minded. We are very interested in learning. And like you said, what you did 30 years ago is not what you're doing today, because that's the exciting thing about science. We're constantly learning more. And what we thought was true 2 years ago, now we know, oops, you know, that's not true. Or not necessarily, oops. We're doing the best we can with the knowledge we have at the time.
That's why I call it practice.
But when, you know, when you go to a biologic, you're going to have the experience of somebody who is genuinely interested in your overall health. Yes, we are trained to treat your teeth, but teeth are part of the whole, right?
That's right.
You cannot have vital teeth if you don't have blood flow, right? So that's what's really exciting about this. And the other really important thing you mentioned is that collaboration. Why the eyes and the mouth ever got cut off from the rest of health is beyond me, right? But we can't go into the whole business side of medicine that's really derailed health, right, in general. You cannot be healthy if your mouth is not healthy. Let's talk a little bit about, in fact, I can't remember, I heard this quote once, I don't know, maybe Dr. Mercola or somebody was saying that 80% of disease starts in the mouth. That's pretty staggering statistic. And whether or not that's absolutely true, there is some significance there because, and the problem is, certainly no physicians are trained really about anything in the mouth. I had a physician call me at 4 o'clock in the morning one day, paranoid because a little kid showed up in the ER and their tooth was out. It was a baby tooth. And they're waking me up at 4 a.m. because they had no idea what was happening.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So,
and the problem though is also in the mouth, most of the time we don't feel it when we have an infection.
That's right.
So
that's
obviously sometimes you do, anybody who's needed a root canal, you know that pain is excruciating, but sometimes the teeth die with no infection. And we find these on x-rays, which we'll talk about a little bit more to the importance of the 3D x-ray.
For sure.
So there's stuff can be in the sinus. Those upper teeth are so close to the upper sinus. The sinus is one thin membrane away from your brain, right?
Exactly.
So let's talk to me a little bit about these infections that can start in the mouth that can affect the rest of our body.
Yeah, huge topic here, but let's dive in. So let's define what the gut is. It really begins at the wet dry line that we have here on our lips. There's a wet dry line. There's one on our nose. The gut is lined by wet skin. Mucosa, right? So it begins behind the lips and behind at the beginning of the nose, and it ends at the wet dry line at the end of the bowel, right? So there's this wet skin tube that runs all the way through our body. And when the gut is discussed, generally they basically cut off them. They talk about the intestines, the gut being the stomach and the intestines and the bowel and the colon and that kind of thing. But really we biological dentists have to bring to the forefront that actually the mouth is a hugely important part of the gut wall. And it's the only place in the body where hard tissue sticks through the skin, right? And I used to say it's for people who just really need to simplify this, that it's the only place in your body where your bone sticks through your skin. And it's wet skin. It's not dry skin. So the junction, so the periodontal attachment to every single tooth. And whether or not that's a leaky, inflamed situation there has everything to do with it, whether or not the gut's inflamed and vice versa. And the sinuses as well. So when there's a leaky gut, the sinuses are affected, the mouth is affected, and the gut system in general. So we have this leaky inflammatory response. And the problem with leakiness is it's not able to be the barrier between the outside world and the inside of the body. So the nutrition, basically what we're trying to do after we chew and swallow is we're trying to assimilate our nutrition. And everybody talks about their diet and whether it's organic and gluten-free and all those things and, you know, all the things about diet, all the philosophies there. But what's happening really, regardless of the diet, what's happening, what's the efficiency of getting the molecule of the nutrition molecule, whatever that is, across the gut wall in such a way that once it gets into the blood, is this a molecule that's going to cause a reactivity, or is it something that the body's going to use and build cells and energy and all those kinds of things? Yeah. So the gut's really tied to, I think 80% is low. The gut's tied to everything. And of course, if we had the Swiss doctors here talking about this, they would absolutely agree that, and Dr. Rao always starts with the gut wall and he always starts with the mouth. As to if patients come in, they have these life-threatening diseases, what's in the mouth? Where's the infections in the mouth? Where's the toxicities in the mouth? Because those have to be removed, and they have to be removed safely. You can't just go in and go to any dentist and have this work done if it's not a biological dentist, because the protections are in place. And I would take that even so far as if there's not an infusion there to really protect the bloodstream and to activate the immune system with ozone gas and things like ultraviolet light and really support the immune system and steer the inflammatory response with access to the blood highway, as opposed to taking things orally. Because if you got a leaky gut in the first place, then you're going to get some fraction of what you're taking. So that's why I feel like getting nursing involved in dentistry is a very important conversation. And those dentists that are listening to this, we train dentists at Biodentists, and we really talk about this, and our nurses are involved in our trainings so that we can talk about what we do and why. And I talked earlier about just putting vitamin C in the bloodstream 30 years ago and how amazing that was. When you up-level that to using ozone and ultraviolet light and high-dose vitamin C as well with B vitamins and Myers cocktails and homeopathics and all those things, we've really not only protected our patients, but we're activating the immune response in ways that are powerful, and we're steering the inflammatory response instead of having to suppress it, which is really key. So that's a long answer to the gut wall issue, but it really is the heart of where it's the gateway to the gut is the mouth, and the mouth has to be treated biologically. Otherwise, it's just really a toxic experience for the body, and you have to clean it up with antibiotics and pain pills.
Yeah. So the important point, right, is that the gut actually starts at the lips, right? It is not just your stomach. And when we talk about leaky gut, we can talk about leaky gums and leaky brain and basically leaky vessels, right? Anything can be leaky in an environment of toxins and infections, right? Yeah. To me, I say it all the time, but anything, I don't care what your diagnosis or what your label is, it comes down to there are toxins and there are infections. And your body is not able to process them properly, right? So let's say you have an abscess tooth and, there was a statement saying if infection is present, right, we can't detox very effectively. So talk to us about, there's this very specific protocol, right? So you can't just go, even you go to the biologic dentist, you're not just going to take out all your silver fillings and then be done. Take out the root canal. So there should be a process, right? Because if you are loaded with these infections and these heavy metals and all these other toxins, and you just all of a sudden just pull everything out, you're going to overload yourself and be sicker than ever.
That's right.
Right? So talk to me about what's the process. If you're a patient who knows you've got things, your health is not good, right? And to be clear, there are some people maybe who have a mouthful of amalgams and root canals and they don't appear to have any clinical disease. It can be the case. But those of you who maybe have especially an autoimmune, any kind of immune function, inflammation, you've got to look in the mouth. There's so much happening in that mouth. We've talked about the meridians before. We can talk a little bit about that too. But let's say you're a person who, okay, oh my gosh, I got to get this infection and toxins out of my body. Where do you recommend patients start?
Yeah, huge conversation here. Where patients start is the first thing everybody needs to know is that the infections can be non-symptomatic. Okay. And it's really important to have a three-dimensional x-ray. I don't allow patients to come into my practice without a 3D. It's the law in my practice. It's absolutely required. And there are times that even patients that don't have root canal teeth, already root canal teeth, that we find dead teeth that the patients don't even know of. And that's always surprising because don't you think that I get the question, don't you think that would hurt? And yeah, you'd think that would, but it's what is it about the inflammatory response there? Okay. Which is another conversation. So let's really talk about where these, let's talk about this. Fundamentally, infections are going to trigger an inflammatory response in the body. Your body has to have an inflammation around an infection. Whether there's symptoms or not, there is an inflammatory response or you will die from the infection. Okay. And that's how the immune system gets around that infection as well. But here's what's important. Fundamentally, inflammation and toxicity are fundamental opposites. Okay. The inflammatory response is really tied to an oxidant system, whereas the detoxification system is really an antioxidant system. So that's why they're really on this teeter-totter. And if there's infections, the body is forced to inflame around that, which is going to create a whole bunch of, the immune system is going to create a whole bunch of oxidants like peroxyl radical, and the body even creates ozone and hydrogen peroxide. And it's going to use those to kill microorganisms. The body's going to have to put detoxification on the back burner in that case in order to not have the oxidant system quenched by the antioxidant system. And biological organisms like a human or mammals or animals, they have to have that teeter-totter to survive. Inflammation is also necessary to build fat in the wintertime to survive, right? So that's an inflammatory response. So a healthy inflammatory response is one that turns on and turns off and turns on and turns off. And the problem is this chronic, 24/7, 365 inflammatory response where there's just all this oxidant activity in the body and it's not able to turn off. So as a result of the detoxification system being suppressed, people become net accumulators with whatever their toxin exposures are. So that just continues to build and build, which is then going to have, it's going to become this vicious cycle where the body's not able to, it's going to retain its toxins and that's going to downregulate the immune system. It's going to not be able to shut off chronic inflammation. So, it's really this great big vicious cycle that people get into. And really the wild card here is the infections. So if we could take a magic wand and just remove the infections, typically found in the mouth, by the way, but if we could remove these infections and do it biologically safely so that it's not a septic experience for the patient, then now the body can take the inflammatory response that used to be there and shift it towards the healing of especially the mouth. So when people come to me and we find these infections, of course, we have laws in my practice, all root canals get removed and they get removed in the same appointment. We don't do one root canal one day and another root canal the next year because the insurance pays for it or whatever. That's not how I practice. Typically, these are sedation surgeries. I prepare my patients weeks in advance. We prepare the gut wall. We prepare what's called the extracellular matrix. That's the inner ocean. It's the saltwater system inside the body. It's the microlymphatic system. It surrounds all of our cells. It's where the cells poop. We have to have a lymphatic system that's working properly. We don't go into dental work, surgical dental experiences until we have prepared the matrix. And we get the bowels moving and we get the lymphatics moving better. And we introduce biological infusions to our patients. So prior, and I typically like to get the decay out of the teeth. and get the bite balanced and get the metals out of the teeth as well while I'm preparing the gut and the matrix. And we have this whole gut wall protocol, this whole matrix protocol that I talked about. And we get the teeth in a parasympathetic response. Okay. So the bite is balanced. So the teeth touch and guide properly. So it's this great big thing, really, to safely take a patient through an experience for when we get to the day called, okay, now we're going to pull all the dead teeth out all at the same time. And we're going to go in, we're going to clean out the cavitation sites, which are the old extraction sites that did it. That's a stagnation disease inside of the jawbone marrow. And we're going to go in, we're going to clean all those out at the same time. And typically these are sedation appointments. It's just better to put a patient to sleep for something like that. And then we decide whether we do immediate implants on those appointments too. So this can get to be very big dentistry here. But the idea is to create the conditions in the body now that when we wake a patient up, that the bloodstream and the lymphatics, whatever has been poisoning the lymphatic system and whatever has been driving the chronic inflammation tied to infections, okay, that we've now safely removed all of that. So now the patient can now live in the body having experienced, gone through an experience where these things have been removed safely, and they can live with a brand new body at that point. And that's typically what happens. Patients that are listening to this or doctors that are listening to this might think, oh my God, that's too much for the body. And I used to think that way too. But when we're dealing with infections, we have to be very smart about this. And I have found in my practice time and time again that when we follow these protocols, because we have the body involved and we've trained the body for the day where we unleash the lions and we've really opened the bowel system so that the elimination pathways are better, that patients, when they experience the post-operative of something like that, they're just amazed at all the things that start to heal in their body that could never heal before that experience. And of course, we don't make promises to our patients about these kinds of things, but the body knows what to do. It's designed to heal. And if it can, it will. And that's such a beautiful power energy that we have on our side, that our bodies know what to do as long as they can, as long as they don't have these obstacles in the way. The conversation about really understanding where these infections are, whether they hurt or not, getting the infections out safely, doing the preparation and doing the surgery in such a way where we really protect the patient. And then post-operative, we really have a whole protocol for post-op to really just make sure that the matrix is working and digestion is working properly so that our patients can heal and be able to grow bone in case they're missing teeth and decide to do implants and that kind of things. Yeah. Long answer to that.
We're going to backtrack and go through some of that. So one question I often get is, why can't I just take antibiotics, right? That's how we get rid of other infections, right?
Great question. Okay, so let's talk about that. So first of all, in order for antibiotics to even work, you must have a blood supply. And the problem with a dead tooth, say a root canal, is there is not only is there not a limited blood supply, it is absolutely zero. So you could take an antibiotic every day of your life until you die, and you will not kill one bacteria inside of a dead tooth, right? And the same thing with cavitations. Now, cavitations, I would not say blood supply is zero, but I would say extremely limited. And of course, I don't want to give that a number, but let's just say 10%. If you have an area in your body that's only getting 10% of the efficiency of a blood supply, how are you going to get an antibiotic in there in the first place? So that's the first criteria. Second criteria is the first thing that happens when an antibiotic, when a capsule opens in the stomach, okay, and gets into the intestine, is it kills it immediately starts killing all the bacteria that it comes in contact with then. So we're killing our friendly bacteria that are responsible for our B vitamin production. Those bacteria are responsible for digesting our food. They're responsible for manufacturing the neurotransmitters. So they're a huge part of our immune system. So all before the antibiotic even gets to the bloodstream, we have this problem called killing bacteria that actually our body needs and that our body lives in symbiosis with. Okay. And the last problem is this thing called die-off, which I really haven't heard anyone talking about in the last 20 or 30 years, is when you kill a bacteria, how an antibiotic works is it drills a hole in the cell wall and then spills the guts of the bacteria out. So now you have a corpse. And you have this biological bomb site. and you have all these dead bacteria. And that is really one of the fundamentals to the conditions of an infection is stagnation. So we've created stagnation by having all these dead bacteria in the body, right? So what's the body going to do with that? It has to break them down into molecules and mobilize and get those out, as opposed to how ozone works. It knows the difference between pathogenic and probiotic, first of all. So it's wonderful in that regard. And when ozone goes into being, when it plays its antibiotic role, among other things it does, but when we use antibiotics to kill pathogens, it actually blows them into particles that there is no such thing as die off. Okay. So the body has these molecules that it knows are foreign, which can actually start to stimulate the antigen antibody response. So we actually get an upregulation of the immune system when ozone is used, as opposed to using antibiotics. So I use antibiotics in my practice, but I don't give them orally. I use them infused because I want to kill bacteria when I'm mobilizing, when we're mobilizing these septic, these places like these abscesses around dead teeth and these cavitation sites that are full of all, not just bacteria, but mold and lime and parasites and all kinds of things that just were the things that we're mobilizing, we're unleashing the lions in the body. So we want an antibiotic there. We want that, but we also want biological medicine on top of that. So we want to clean up the mess so we don't have this die-off problem. Okay. So I'm not against antibiotics. I'm just against them taken orally. Now, I'm not going to say that I don't use oral antibiotics in my practice. Sometimes you got to do it, right? Because if a patient ends up with a post-op infection and they're just not, they live in a small town hours away, yeah, we need to do something every 6 hours called take an antibiotic. So I'm not completely against it, but I really want to caution this overuse of antibiotics and creating these superbugs, because you know the biome is so far ahead of, this is my opinion, I think the biome is so far ahead of what humans are trying to invent right now, that bacteria can change their DNA and become facultative anaerobes in a matter of hours. Okay. So we're trying to create all these new clever antibiotics to try to kill these infections. And I'm sorry, I just don't think it's going to work, because we've already, antibiotics worked extremely well when they first came out in the 1930s, saved thousands and thousands of lives. And that's why antibiotics were really hailed as one of the miracle drugs of the time, which they were. But we really have to understand what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with the biome. And the biome has ways of, what's the biome is programmed for one thing, and that's survival. So of course they're going to modify their genetics as they're exposed to new medications that are designed to kill them. So really what we have to do, what humanity must do now, is it must develop conditions. And I'll talk about conditions later if we need to, but humans having consciousness must use their consciousness to create conditions in their body so that infections cannot exist. Okay. So let's talk about that a little bit, because there's three things common to all infections. And the first one I talked about was stagnation. The second one is acidity. And the third one is oxygen deprivation. And if you have warm, dark, and moist with that, because that's what our bodies are, they're warm, they're dark inside, and they're humid. If we have acidity, stagnation, and oxygen deprivation, along with warm, dark, and moist, we're guaranteed an infection in that site. So my approach to treating infections is strip the conditions and watch the infections leave forever. They're gone for good. They will not come back. Why? Because they can't. So if we change stagnation and add flow, okay, not just energetic flow, but blood flow and everything that blood brings, the immune system, it brings oxygen, it brings the nutrition that's needed for cells. And if we also affect the drain, okay, so that's what I mean by flow, both in and out. So if that's how we fix stagnation. And if we fix the acidity problem by creating alkalinity, and if we fix the oxygen problem by saturation with oxygen, not just any oxygen, that's why I like ozone, because ozone goes back to being an oxygen molecule as soon as it donates its electron. So that if we use these three things to change conditions in the body, then like I said, the infections leave, and they leave for good, and they stay away. They don't come back because they can't. It's not possible because the conditions are not right for that infection. Okay. So if we think as biological doctors and biological dentists in such a way where we can modify the conditions, like I said, then we just don't have this heavy reliance on the use of antibiotics. And if we still need them based on all of fixing the conditions, if we still need, then okay, then let's use them, because we certainly don't want our patients to be overwhelmed by, if their immune systems just can't get under how they're healing. And that's why I mentioned we have a very strict post-operative protocol in our office, because we just, it's a boxing match, and you just have to keep reliably and consistently applying the modification and the improvement of the conditions so that the infection, so that you have time for the body to heal in those conditions. Patients just heal so much better but we have to be strict about it. We can't just be, yeah, here, take these pills and you'll be fine. And it doesn't work that way. And so that's really what, in my opinion, that's really the art of practicing biological dentistry, is getting really to that level and having patients that are on board with you. Because obviously this is not for everybody. Patients really have to be on board. They have to want this, and they have to have the resources and the time. And in today's day and age, it's not always possible, unfortunately. And it's not cheap to do all these things. But the idea is, but once a patient is free from the disease in their mouth, they can really have the life they want to live. Yeah.
So let's recap this, because this, we talked about a lot of really important stuff here. And so I really like your key points. And this is what we talk about with my patients all the time. You have to create the environment in your body for healthy things to survive, right? Yep. I tell my patients all the time, what you were just talking about, it made me think of periodontal disease or gum disease. You don't all of a sudden one day swallow the so-called bad bacteria and boom, you have gum disease. Or you didn't just inherit gum disease from your parents, right? Okay. Environment in the oral cavity, in the gut,
right,
changes. It becomes acidic. It becomes toxic. When you have any kind of toxins, you're going to be nutrient deficient, right? Including oxygen, right? Okay. Now you have this environment that's very acidic. We know acidic environment is going to select those so-called bad bugs, right? Mm-hmm. We, in health, you have an array of bacteria and fungus and all these things. It's when you're in balance, great. But when these environmental changes occur, and there was a great article in Nature in 2019 that said these periodontal pathogens occur because of a change in the environment.
Absolutely.
But yet we're still trying to kill everything, right? Dentistry and medicine is really focused on infection is bad. We just need to kill it, right? And that's how we've created these super bugs, because we've overused antibiotics. And they're not the wonderful cure. And it's a problem because we need antibiotics. So we have to be judicious and, you know, careful. Right?
No question. We need them. We need them. Yeah.
And so I used to do this study, a saliva test, and for all my patients with this gum disease. And regardless of what the results were, the recommendation was always antibiotics. Right. And sure, give the patient, before I knew all this, I gave the patient antibiotics and sure, it took it away. But then as I started learning more about the gum, I'm like, ooh, like that's, I don't, maybe I'm fixing one issue, maybe. But I'm could possibly be creating a far deeper issue, because I'm really destroying the immune system, right? So I said, what if I just try to create healthier environment in the mouth? Then what's going to happen? So I did my own little study where I took oxygen drops, some probiotics, binders, and enzymes, and a specific microbiotic toothpaste. And in 4 weeks, these patients dramatically reduced all of the so-called periodontal. All of them got rid of the P. gingivalis, which is one of those bacteria, which is one of the worst. It's indicated in almost every chronic disease there is. And so I was like, huh, see, you don't have to kill anything. You need to create the healthier environment. So as you said, we need to move from that acidity to alkalinity. We need to get rid of stagnation. So this is another really important thing for people to understand. We've talked about it before. Everybody talks about detox. We got to detox. We live in a very toxic world. So detoxification is important. However, if you don't have drainage first, if you are constipated, which many of us are, and you try to detox, how's that going to get out of your body?
It's not indicated at that time.
Have to have those drainage pathways open, right? Yeah. And it's just think about that stagnant pond, right? Where all of the, you see the mold and the moss and the all the insects, right? That is just the absolute breeding ground for infection. Same exact thing in our body. We need flow in our body. So you need to make sure those bowels are going. You need to, and the lymph, super, super important. Our livers get very overloaded with all the toxins and infections. And if the liver can't drain, then the lymph gets all blocked up. That's a lot of reason why we have all these aches and pains and all these and problems. So we've got to have, so again, the drainage is absolutely key. So even with my periodontal or gum disease patients, our protocol is, okay, we can get rid of any of that tartar that may, but it's gut work. True. I think of periodontal disease as an autoimmune condition. Your body is eating away your own bone. Isn't that the very definition of autoimmune? And autoimmunity is a gut issue. It all starts in the gut. So if you want to cure your gum disease, we got to go deep, right? We got to look at what's the diet, what are the toxins. That is the way you're going to solve it, not by taking antibiotics and using these mouth rinses that are actually making the problem worse.
And getting your teeth cleaned. The traditional approach is let's remove the evidence.
Yes.
Right? The calcification of which I'm a huge fan of clean teeth and brushing and flossing. And if there's calcifications on the teeth, if there's barnacles on the teeth, get them off. Get them out of there. Okay. But what is the root cause? Why is the body calcifying in the first place?
Talk to us a little bit about that, because this is real. And people will just say, oh, I build calculus. My mother did, and I just do. Okay. But that's not normal.
It's not healthy.
So what's happening there? Why are they precipitating out all this calcium onto their teeth where somebody, maybe their husband or wife, doesn't? What's the difference? What's happening?
It's fundamentally an acidity problem. So when, and what is acidity? It's free hydrogen, right? And that's what, it's pH. Right? It's percent hydrogen. So when free hydrogen is competing with calcium, free hydrogen are competing with each other on binding sites in the blood, then when you have an acidity problem inside the matrix, then it's going to drive these calcification problems, such as if there's tartar on the teeth, then I would also be wondering if there's kidney stones, gallstones, breast cancer, all the cataracts in the eyes, all these things. Yeah, that could, the body's in a calcification state. It, I feel like when, and I think periodontal disease is absolutely tied to this fundamentally as well. I think it's a matrix disease. So the matrix being the micro saltwater system around every cell. I mentioned earlier where the cells poop. And I think you just start with the lymphatic protocol at that point. Of course, get rid of the inflammatory foods. Figure out if you're gluten sensitive. I just did a food sensitivity panel, an extremely broad one, and I was blown away at all the things I thought was healthy that I was eating, and all the things that I liked, and then all the things that I can't eat right now until I figure out for myself what is it that I need to do to work on my matrix. So the matrix is really a micro lymphatic protocol. So I'm talking at a micro level, like between the cells, and the lymphatic system being the macro. So what would be a lymphatic protocol? First of all, get out and get your body moving. First thing, this is why yoga is so good, or Tai Chi, or just get out and go for a bike ride, or just get some exercise. And while you're at it, get some sun, get some vitamin D going. Vitamin D is so critically important. It acts like a hormone in the body almost. And it's just such an important thing. So these are really like the fundamentals. I think that people really just need to get back to the basics. When we think about how we've evolved all these years, love is medicine, right? And laughter is medicine, and movement, and get with your friends and your loved ones and your family, and get back to being like how it used to be. And people used to, when I was a kid, I got outside and I exercised and I worked in my parents' garden, right? And it's what I did. So I had connection to the earth, and get your feet on the ground, get your body on the ground, take your shoes off so that the magnetics of the planet can come through our bodies. All of these things that we do today that really are so detrimental to having a healthy lymphatic system. And of course, now we have these stagnation diseases as a result of it. And we've got all this chronic stuff. So back to the whole periodontal issue, I let my staff do it because I don't take doctor time to do these kinds of things, but I built a protocol for the patients, and I let my staff really say, okay, What are you doing here? It's not what toothpaste are you using, okay? And it goes way beyond that. And I'll also mention that I'm a huge fan. I want to just bring up the whole ozone subject again, too. I think that if I were president, there would be an ozone machine in every single household in the United States. And I think it's just critical for anyone listening to your podcast. If you don't understand what O3 ozone is, time to learn so that you can use it at home on a daily basis. You can buy an ozone machine. You can buy these ozone machines on Amazon now for $60. They're just phenomenal at making ozone water. Now, this is not medical use of ozone, so let's not confuse the two, but it is top using ozone water to create conditions for your gum tissue. My patients, I tell them, buy an ozone and make your own water, add some salt, brush your teeth with that. You'll be amazed at how clean your teeth gum, because ozone will dissolve biofilms. Just having and creating conditions around your gums where the gap junctions between the cells can tighten down really helps the leaky part in the mouth, which is going to help the overall gut. And you can use neti pots as well and clean your sinuses with these things. Now, I'm not sure about drinking ozone water. I don't think ozone stays ozone. I think at that point it's reverted back to oxygen. But I think if people want to drink ozone water, they can. But I don't think ozone gets through stomach acid and gets to the intestine. I just don't. But
like you said, the machines are not that expensive, and it's a great, especially in these times today when there's this threat of all this crazy biologic stuff. Ozone is known to kill bacteria, viruses, parasites, fungus on contact. So
that's right.
Without the side effects of an antibiotic or an antifungal.
Right. And it doesn't kill the probiotic bacteria. So it's
important, because this is something your own body makes. So people freak out when they hear that word, right? Because they think we're killing the atmosphere with ozone. And it's true. You can't breathe ozone directly. And the reason is your lungs do not have a lot of antioxidants in the cell membranes there. Okay.
That's right.
And that's why we're taught that that's how it distinguishes between so-called good and bad stuff, because more pathogenic bacteria don't have that antioxidant cell membrane. And that's why the ozone can puncture through with those electrons and kill it. So that's why, again, it's safer than some of these antibiotics. But like you just mentioned, sinus, I had a patient yesterday, he's been battling sinus problems for 6 months and he's on his third round of antibiotics. And I said to him, what's the definition of insanity? Like doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And he said, yeah, it's really weird. I said, a lot of times sinus issues can be fungal. I'm like, so maybe you ask the MD, can we try an antifungal? Or I said, we have wonderful ozone here. We can do an ear and a nasal insufflation a couple times a week for a few weeks. And again, we're not going to have any side effects. That may help it, because what if it's a parasite up there causing inflammation? Yeah, ozone will cover that too, because that's the other infection. We talk about bacteria all the time, really common. Fungal infections in the mouth, pretty common. But what about parasites? Right? Yeah. Nobody thinks about parasites. But in all my training and all the stuff we do with CellCore, like that was at the root of my eczema. Who would have known? Parasites in my liver bile ducts, right? Causing all sorts of havoc. But we find parasites in cavitations. We find parasites in root canal teeth, right? They are there. And the problem with parasites is they kind of act like a mother ship, right? So parasites can harbor toxins and heavy metals and other kinds of infections. So if you say, oh, doctor says I have Epstein-Barr. If you also have parasites and you try to just go after this Epstein-Barr, if it's inside the parasite, you're never going to get rid of it, right? So you've got to get parasites first. It's interesting. But again, first you have to drain, right? You can't kill anything if you don't have those bowels moving, if you're, kidneys and liver, if you don't sweat. When I was first going through my health issues, I never sweat. And I was just like, oh, like a badge of honor. Yes, I'm so nice and lovely. I don't sweat. But that's not a good thing, right? So until I started using my sauna frequently, now I can sweat. That's not a good thing. Like I was so stagnant. Right? Mm-hmm. Like my body was just stagnant. Things just did not move through me. And it's something I'm always battling, especially in the wintertime when it's so dry. I got to make sure I can't try to go too full force on any kind of detox protocol when I'm feeling just dry and stagnant. And that can be a little more challenging. Some simple tips, though, to get the lymph. Obviously, you have to move, right? Yeah. But anything red is a really good lymph mover. Beets and hibiscus tea, tart cherry juice, cranberry juice, or anything kind of red is a known lymph mover. So just a little tidbit there for patients.
I'd like to add to that a little bit too. What we do in our clinic too, we have a colon hydrotherapist. One of our nurses is trained in colon hydro, and we use ozone during our colon hydros. Nice. So when there's a real candida problem down in the low bowel in the colon, that's just such, we've had patients with sinus problems respond beautifully well to colon hydro with using ozonated water. And we just improve the health of the entire gut system when we really have to think about from all the way from the very beginning at the wet dry line to the wet dry line and down at the bottom and all the different neighborhoods and bacterias that we have all along the way by design.
If you have a home ozone machine, like rectal insufflation, not everybody's going to have a colon hydrotherapist or the access to that. But if you have a home ozone machine, rectal insufflation, not quite the same, but still you get the ozone. It's a very easy, people get grossed out by that. So easy to do.
So easy.
And you do it at home.
Yeah, all you need is the catheter, just the 12-inch catheter, and you can buy
those. You can buy on Amazon.
$10, put a little coconut oil on there, get 6 inches in there and go. And it doesn't have to be pure ozone to do that either. Mm-hmm. So these $60 machines, you just don't want to be injecting in blood. Yeah, if you're going to do ozone therapy to the blood, you have to have that done professionally, period. Although there are machines, if you're trained and you can get them, and you have to have a pure oxygen, you have to breathe, the machine has to breathe from an oxygen tank. But if people are listening to this that have sinus problems, give it a try. Use a catheter and an ozone machine and get some ozone up there and see what happens. And the nice thing about that is your body doesn't have to mobilize it. You just poop it out. That's it. It's fabulous.
Well, tell us a little bit more about like your protocol. Say you're prepping somebody. I love how you talked about like you don't take out the root canals or do the more difficult invasive surgeries until everything else is complete. Important part that you said too about getting the bite right. You've got to get that patient in parasympathetic. Tell us a little bit. Yeah. Why is that important?
Because they don't heal. Any body part, whether it's teeth or not, has to be in a parasympathetic response. So people may not know what a parasympathetic response is. That's a regulatory response. The body has this sympathetic or parasympathetic, and it's basically I think of sympathetic as it starts with S, so it's stress. And we need a sympathetic response in fight or flight response. Okay. If you have to run for your life, you better get into sympathetic fast. Okay. Parasympathetic, on the other hand, rest, digest, detoxification, that's really a sympathetic thing. So when the teeth are in a sympathetic response, say there's bruxism, you grind your teeth, you got a whole bunch of wear, perforations, teeth are bending like this, you got abfractions, you got cold sensitivity, you got this inflammatory response inside the tooth that manifests as a temperature sensitivity. We really need to get the teeth in good conditions. Teeth are meant to be balanced, okay? And the front teeth and the back teeth are very different and very important. So the front teeth, there's two kinds of teeth in our mouth. There's cutters and crushers. What we do when we eat is we cut, crush, swallow. So we got cutters and crushers, just like the tires on your car. Your front tires steer your car, your back tires don't, okay? So parasympathetic response is when the teeth are touching and guiding properly so that they're, and humans are meant to have sharp teeth. So I love teeth and they're so beautiful. And I love sharp teeth. And I love that when we finish our cases, getting that sharp balance in there. But a teeth needs to be in a parasympathetic response individually in order for it to heal. So if a tooth is in this interference and if there's all these muscles just loading these teeth, so there's a physical traumatic relationship there, plus you got an inflammatory response inside of a tooth, then how is a tooth supposed to heal? Okay. A tooth is the only body part that cannot swell. Okay. And swelling is a tool, just like pain is a tool. Okay. Just like fever is a tool. Okay. A tooth is the only body part that cannot swell. And if we're going to get a tooth to heal, it has to be in this rest and digest type of, not digest necessarily, but this rest regulatory relationship in the body. And in order to get it there, we have to get the infection out of the tooth. And that's what a cavity is. Okay. That's an infection for a tooth. I consider that a cavity to be an infection. You have to get that out and we have to get that tooth sealed with biocompatible materials. And we have to establish the excellent blood flow to that tooth. And we have to establish the drainage, the lymphatic drainage for that tooth. Okay. And we have to get the bite right. All right. So that's why I like doing the restorative dentistry, because a lot of times we're taking the metals out. Okay. We're getting the mercury out of there. We're getting the old composites out of there as well that are full of toxic chemicals as well. So that's why I like getting the teeth in the parasympathetic response and preparing the gut and preparing the matrix that we talked about. And that takes time. All right. So during that first month, typically after I do an exam and a patient's on board with all this, because it's a huge commitment in my office, because I play by my rules. I don't break my rules anymore. I say there's plenty of dentists that'll be happy to take care of you. You come to me, you play by my rules. And a lot of patients come from out of town and they spend a week or two in Denver and they come to the medical clinic and they go through the vitality circuit and we're working with all these things while we're getting the decay out of the teeth and getting them sharp and balanced and getting into that parasympathetic response. Sorry for the long answer, but that's how this works. So typically, depending on how unhealthy or healthy the patient is, that could take a month. That could take 2 weeks. We don't really know, but this is the rules and this is what we do prior to the day we take out all the dead teeth and we clean up all the cavitation sites and we don't do any of that stuff before we got the teeth where we want them. And typically when teeth are cold sensitive, we want that going away, right? So instead of doing root canals, okay, standard of care for a toothache is a root canal. Nope, we're going to learn how to heal teeth here. And it's tricky because teeth can't heal, they can't swell. So we really have to be disciplined in order to heal teeth. And of course, now I've also, part of my protocol is you eat in our clinic too. We have a chef and our food is gluten-free and it's organic. And a lot of times, a lot of our patients are vegan. So we prepare food. We really want our patients eating well, and of course my staff too, and myself. That's our protocol. But preliminary protocol is getting the body ready, getting the matrix ready, getting the gut biome ready, getting these things ready. Typically patients feel a lot better, but they feel really good after we get the infections and we get the dead teeth out of there. And I talked about the safety of this and the importance of the nursing and the infusions. There's a lot of infusions involved in this because we're activating the immune system. We're steering the inflammatory response through these protocols. And then my protocol is really the last week. Typically after about a week, we're really ready to let the patients go at that point because they feel much, much better. And if there's some swelling, we want to be around our patients while they're swelling so that we can really move the lymphatic system around that. Because a lot of times the swelling is really just from blood coming out of the cavitation sites, not from having an infection. And a lot of times our patients don't have pain. Now, I don't promise that our patients don't ever have pain, but it's unusual for them to have pain. And that's really the good news of where patients are really thinking about taking a very comprehensive look at their mouth and getting their body involved in the process. The good news is your body will respond. You're not going to have the same body after this. But somebody really has to be on board for, I really want to do this. I'm ready to do something like this, is to get my mouth completely biologically restored. And the goal is obviously to work myself out of a job.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. And so that I don't have a recurring type of thing. That's just not my practice. I don't have a single tooth practice that takes insurance. Yeah. It's not what we do. I used to do that and that's really part of the disease care model. Nowadays, we have patients that commit to this process and they have to have the resources and the time too. I'm just the messenger. We have to obey the laws of biology through a surgical experience, especially when we're dealing with infections and sepsis. You absolutely do. I'm just the messenger. And
I say the same thing to my patients. I said, I hope to never have to pick up a drill ever again one day. Part of the process, the idea of doing the podcast is creating this awareness, because I'm so big on prevention. Sometimes when I'm cutting into that tooth, I'm like, oh, I don't want to be doing this. I want to be restoring it. But let's recap what you said. So parasympathetic, if your body isn't in that, so parasympathetic is also when we repair, when we heal and when we repair, when we are in calm. And if we are, and this is one of the reasons why when you have these extensive surgery, being sedated is a good idea, because you're not anxious if you're sedated, right? I don't do sedation in my practice. I just haven't gotten around to that, but it can be challenging. And so in my practice, we use pulse electromagnetic frequency mats. We have crystals. We use homeopathics like Rescue Remedy. All these things are tried to create the most calming atmosphere possible. I don't like to give a lot of drugs either to make you calm down. And most people, when they've come to the whole environment, we have special energy music going in the rooms. Like it's a whole environment, right? That's true. Any person, myself included, I don't like to be in the dental chair, right? So how can we make the environment as calming as possible given the circumstances? But absolutely. Mm-hmm. So same thing what you're talking about. How do we prevent a root canal? Okay. If you're somebody out there, I have this tooth pain. I know I shouldn't have a root canal. What can I do? So exactly what you just said. How do we increase blood flow? How do we make sure that tooth is draining? Because like you said, it can't swell. So what do we do?
Right.
And ozone is one of the great remedies because ozone is full of energy. Like the reason if you were to shoot yourself with ozone, it hurts because it's very highly acidic because it's very energetic. Okay.
Yep.
And so you're pumping energy because that's what we need. Anytime there is pain, in my mind, that means energy isn't flowing. Right? We have some kind of stagnation. So how do we increase that flow? I love homeopathics like lymphomyosate, tramiel, zeal. These are all injectables that you use to help, again, restore energy, restore flow, right? I don't use any epinephrine in my anesthetics because what does epinephrine do? It constricts the blood flow. We don't want that, right? And same thing, when you use all these biologics, I don't remember the last time I ever prescribed an opioid. From using ozone and the laser, PRF, I mean, my patient, and I give them a little arnica. They get an arnica tablet under their tongue before they leave the office. And again, I can't tell you the last. And also the other big thing that we should talk about is light therapy, right?
Yeah.
So all of my patients get red light. Mm-hmm. And if everybody, that's another thing, if everybody could just buy a handheld red light, amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. I tell my patients this amazing story of my husband. He smashed all of his sinus bones during COVID. He was trying to grind paint off of a metal chair and it slipped, caught in his string of his hoodie. And at 7,000 RPMs, his knuckle came right at his face. He's lucky. It wasn't an inch above or below. But everything started immediately swelling. But 5 minutes in front of our red light panel, no more swelling. And so they were shocked at the ER. They were like, yeah, we'll let you go in 5 minutes. But they did a CT scan and were shocked. They were like, oh my gosh, this is the kind of injury we see in a head-on collision. And they were baffled, like, why aren't you swollen? And then the next day went to the oral surgeon. He said, oh, he's going to be a mess. He's going to be a wreck. Never had swelling. All of his feeling, because the nerve that innervates the teeth right there it wasn't severed, but it was greatly impacted. In 6 weeks, he had all his feeling back. It was amazing. And that was just light. So when you get injured, no more ice. You don't want to do ice because, again, that's blood flow constricting, right? And that'll actually make the problem last longer, right? Just same thing with using Tylenol. All these things that suppress the body system is not really how we get better healing, right? So we use things like ozone and light because we're stimulating the body. And that's why these things are more effective than some of these other. The other drugs that we have, they can take away symptoms, but they're not at the root of healing. And so tell us a little bit, like you, when you use ozone with UV light.
We combine the two. So we call it UVBI, it's ultraviolet blood irradiation. So I call it the tanning bed for the blood. Yeah. We use major autohemotherapy with the ozone. And as the blood's coming back into the body, it goes through this three different UVA, UVB, and UVC. Very powerful antibiotic. It's again, kills all the pathogens only, doesn't kill the probiotic bugs that are there. And you're putting these fragments back into the body of the pathogens to create that antigen antibody response. It's just a wonderful way to upregulate the immune system. And we like to do this well in advance of having surgical procedures. So if really the sepsis is the problem, this is such an important part of this process. But anyway, I just want to mention, I love homeopathy as well. And there's one in particular homeopathic for pulpitis. It's called Pulpa Dentis. And I mix it in with lymphomyosate and B12 and tramiel and all the things. So it's called Pulpa Dentis. And it's just wonderful for cold sensitivity. Yeah. Yep. So it's really prolozone with these various homeopathics and B vitamins. I'm trying to think if there's anything else in there. I have not injected ketone isotonic, but I can also see where that could just be it comes in those little sterile vials. I could see where that would just be the just profound nutrition for the extracellular matrix, providing all the minerals on the periodic table in a 0.9%. And I could see that being just wonderful. I just haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
I'm going to start on Monday.
So speaking of that with the minerals, we didn't want to close up that conversation we were having about the calculus, the buildup of the tartar.
Removing
because of
the
that
evidence.
Acidic environment, right? How do we neutralize the acidity minerals, right? So most of those people who have a lot of that tartar are always saying, you need minerals, right? Those minerals that balance calcium. I think the problem, sometimes people think, I better take a calcium supplement. I better take this vitamin D supplement. No vitamin or mineral works alone, right? Everything is a balance. Everything works together. That's why whole foods, best way to get your vitamins, because they are in the proper form that our body can see. And that's where we sometimes have a problem with supplements. I think supplements are important because our food supply is so deficient today, but you have to be careful and you have to make sure. I just had a patient the other day said, I started giving my daughter zinc. And I said, okay, that zinc can be helpful, but it can also deplete your copper. So you've got one thing or that you got to be careful when you're just giving a single nutrient. So
dosage is very important.
Very important.
Yeah.
So I know we're coming up over an hour and we could talk a whole other hour, but why don't you tell us a little bit more about the Institute? And if for any of the dentists listening, if you want to learn a bit about become a biologic dentist, how can we get more training?
Great. Thanks. Yeah. This year I'm establishing the Biodentist Institute. And so for 2 years now, I've been training with Dr. Judson Wall. We've been training together in my clinic in Denver. And just a shout out to Dr. Wall too.
Dr. He's Carver, awesome. You've been. I love him.
Yep. He is awesome. I think if there's some dentists that are listening to this that would like to become more biological, because there is a continuum. And if you'd really like to up level your game, I think, what is it? Holistic Dental Education Series, HDES. I just can't recommend the work that he's done. His dedication to the profession is amazing. So we just want to give a kudos to our friend, Dr. Judson Wall in Salt Lake City. But Judson and I have combined in Denver at the end of October. Our intention is to build a network and expand the practice of biological, not only dentists, but doctors as well. But we really want to invite doctors, and we also want to bring staff into this as well. So our last training, we had 75 people there. We had a lot of assistants and a lot of administrative staff come, and we have breakout sessions. Dr. Wall and I, we train dentists together. And then my assistants train the assistants and my admin team, and our nurses, they take the admin team. And so it's this really immersive experience for the whole staff, rather than putting it all on the doctor and having them come back and say, hey, great, I know all these new things, and trying to implement this. We're trying to really make that cycle much easier, because it's taken me decades to become the dentist that, and millions of dollars in traveling the world to become the dentist that I am today. So we really want to have this one place where people can see how integration happens and learn about the protocols and learn about the tricks of the trade, the things that I do that I believe so deeply in. So at the end of October this year, we call it the Biodentist Way. And if anyone listening wants to go to biodentist.com, they can. And on my website is going to be some more information about the training. And the idea in building the network is really to have affiliated offices that we work with. Because in Denver at the HOH Institute and at Biodentist, we're building this massive funnel of where patients can come in and learn about biological dentistry and can be curated, and that we can refer out all across the nation to dentists that are affiliated with us, so that we can really make this become the money that you're going to spend to become a biological dentist. You get your return on your investment by becoming affiliated with us, because we have a lot of patients coming to us nowadays, and I'm going to be retiring soon. I've promised myself this year that I'm going to do that and really focus my attention to building content and writing a book and just basically getting to the reaching out to the people that are looking for this, and training dentists and really building a family of dentists that are affiliated with our office, so that we can really start, because people want to know where to go. And that's what Dr. Huggins did at the end of his career. Is he had a network of dentists that I was one of them. And I felt that worked really well, because you're getting curated patients. You're getting good patients in your dental office. So this year, we believe it's going to be the end of October. We're going to remove it to September this year. And we're also bringing the Swiss. We're going to do a international congress this year on September 19th through the 21st. So Dr. Rao is coming from Switzerland. And so we're going to bring a lot of Swiss medical protocols. And then the week after that is going to be the Biodentist Way with Dr. Walls. So September's a busy year for us this year, the end of September. So anybody can go to biodentist.com to learn more about that. And you'll see the Human Universal Health Institute, also the HUH Institute, as part of the building, the facility where my dental office exists. So underneath in the HUH Institute is where people are coming. So we cook a lot of food, foods included, because we feel like nutrition is important. It's part of our medicine. It's part of our protocol and our model. And we just have a great time in the 2 to 3 days that we spend together. So if anybody's interested, they can go to biodentist.com.
Thank you. Fabulous. And I hope everybody got some nice little tidbits from here. And please check out those websites if you want to learn more. And thanks for listening. And we'll catch you on the next episode.